Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back to Fitzy and Hart on EEI.
Hour number two of Fitzy and Hart on WEEI, your sports Sunday, getting you ready for the bye week. Week 14, a stress-free Sunday for Patriots Nation. You can kick back, chillax, relax, enjoy, decorate the tree, have a couple nogs, watch a lot of football. 11 o'clock hour, we're going to get to what's going on around the league. We'll get to your injury updates, help you set your fantasy roster. 12 o'clock, Chris Scheim calls in with your best bets because we're right here with you till 12:30. And at 10:30, our pal Mike Giardi from the NFL Network joins us live from Cincinnati to talk Patriots and provide a little insight on what's going on with your 9-4 top seed in the AFC. Andy Hart, we had just discussed a little while ago, we sort of mentioned it, we didn't get too deep into it, the idea that the Patriots have, obviously, there's four games left, the first ever 17-game season. This is week 14. They're on the bye with, I believe, Miami, Philadelphia, and the Indianapolis Colts are also coming off a bye, so they have a slightly longer bye. I don't think the Patriots were done dirty or a disservice by having to play on a Monday night and then playing again to a flexed Saturday night game. They still have 12 days of rest, so and then they get 8 days before they have to play Buffalo the day after Christmas. That game is still scheduled for 1 p.m. I wouldn't be surprised if that game gets moved, but that's not what's up for debate right now. Do you think the Patriots can run the table, the four games left being at Indy, home against Buffalo, against the Jags, or whatever will remain of that franchise in shambles, and then they finish up the season in Miami? And do you believe, and I think I know the answer already, but I'd like to hear you elocute a bit, do you think the Patriots can run the table? And should they run the table, or do you think that actually would be to their detriment, dare I say?
I certainly think they could run the table. I mean, they've won 7 games in a row. They've won on the road. They've had good wins. They've had weather wins, whatever you want to call it. I think they've...
Amazing that Mac is also undefeated. He's a real road warrior.
Yes, no question. One of the many impressive feats of the rookie quarterback who apparently hasn't deemed people worthy of an impressive rebuild this offseason. But I digress. I'll get back to the question that was asked. Yeah, I think they certainly could run the table. Now, there's 3 losable games in there as well. I think the Colts is every bit a losable game, Jonathan Taylor. And, you know, you can tell me the run defense is great and that the 270 they gave up to the Titans was by design. I don't believe that. And Jonathan Taylor is capable of going for 2 bills on his own on any given day, and they have good fronts. Patriots are winning, I think, in large part because of their fronts. They've become a very physical football team up front on both sides of the ball. This is going to be a challenge for them in those trenches, in that area. So it'd be interesting. I think this is an interesting quarterback matchup. I joked on TV the other night because NBC Sports Boston, they have a simulator that simulated the Patriots to a playoff matchup, I believe the AFC title game against the Colts. And ooh, I said that's an interesting QB matchup because it's a veteran in Carson Wentz against a rookie in Mac Jones. I'd have more faith in Mac Jones than Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz in that battle would be the more likely to make a stupid, quote-unquote, rookie mistake that could cost a team a playoff game and a trip to a Super Bowl. But I think the Colts is a losable game. They're a good football team. I think Frank Reich is a pretty darn good coach.
And one who has shown that he's not afraid of matching wits with Belichick and making gutsy calls, like in Super Bowl 52, offensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, who had an awesome game plan ready for the Patriots, who came out way too, I think they came out way too heavy early on. No, they came out way too light, and they weren't prepared for Nick Foles. They completely underestimated him, and Frank Reich made all the right calls. I think he's an excellent head coach. Agree with you completely, and he has rebuilt that team nicely. And he's look what he's getting out of Carson Wentz this season. It helps to have a badass offensive line,
yep,
and arguably the best running back in the NFL. But
yep,
he's definitely led the turnaround of Carson Wentz this season for sure.
He has, and that's his guy. I mean, they have some comfort working together. I think that's why he traded for him and acquired him, and even put, if I recall, a first round pick on the table. I forgot exactly the criteria, but I think you could end up giving up a first round pick maybe if they reach
their
height.
I think he's trending towards, it was definitely a second round pick, and if he started a certain number of games and twas victorious enough that it would be a first round pick, I think that was the better call, giving up that first round pick for a new quarterback. I think that was better. Obviously Phillip Rivers played pretty well last year, but Jacob Eason, probably not quite ready.
Right, and it's his guy. It's not just a reclamation project in general. It's his guy that he has a comfort level with reclamation project from their experience together. So I think the Patriots could. Now, what we get into is, and as you noted, this was the famous Michael Gee of the Boston Herald proposal back in 2007, that Patriots team could use a loss, that it would be a good thing to kind of recenter them. You know, you press that button on your GPS, it recenters the map and gives you the view from where you are again, that this could recenter this team, that it could recenter that team. We mocked it. A lot of people mocked it at the time. Now, obviously, you'd be giving up a perfect season along the way in 2007, but later players did say, yeah, maybe we could have used a loss. Like, the pressure was building. There was a lot of stress, and they got by the skin of their teeth there with the Ravens and the Giants and some of those games down the stretch.
And you heard Brady talk in the most recent episode, Andy, of Man in the Arena on ESPN Plus, about how exhausting, like they didn't realize it at the time, how exhausting trying to keep up with the lofty expectations of the perfect season was for that team. By the time they got to the Super Bowl, a combination of arrogance and exhaustion led to, obviously, I think the most crushing defeat in franchise history.
And Teddy Bruschi's been a vocal proponent of, yeah, the stress really got to us. It really built up over that time. And I just look at it, this is a weird one for me, because you're battling for the number one seed, which I think is huge. And we know Bill prioritizes the bye. He always has. Get the bye. And it's even more valuable now because there's only one of them. But then I look at the numbers, just the raw numbers. If they win four in a row, so they finish the season on an 11-game winning streak, and you now have Super Bowl hopes because you're the number one seed, you're rolling on an 11-game winning streak heading into the postseason, now they're going to win three more games to win a Super Bowl, and you say this team, as they are currently built with a rookie quarterback, rebuilt in the offseason, all of this, is this team really one that you have a ton of confidence can win 14 straight games, including a playoff run? Like, it feels, is that, I know you're Mr. Optimistic, Mr. Homer, Mr. Superfan. Doesn't that feel hard to just kind of wrap your head around, that the Mac Jones Patriots are going to win 14 games in a row on the way to a Super Bowl title?
That the Patriots would end on an almost, like a perfect season. The 14 games, that's too short of what used to be a regular season.
Doesn't that seem like a lot?
It's such an insane premise.
You don't want to lose, I don't think, because you lose. Nope. You can lose the number one seed. Now you don't have a bye. Now you got to play an extra game. I don't want to play an extra game with a rookie quarterback and all those things. So, I would be playing to win. There's no doubt. I'm not saying there would ever be even a hint of Belichick thinking,
throwing one, no.
We could use a loss. Let's show these guys something in December so that they don't get shown it in January. No, I don't believe that. I think he will absolutely be all in to win these next four games. But from afar, from playing radio and stupid, I got to give Michael Hurley from WBZ credit. He's one that's really a proponent of this, and he didn't know anything about Michael Gee. I was talking to Mike Hurley the other night at NBC Sports Boston, and he's like, as soon as I said it, I'm getting all these responses, the old Michael Gee theory. And he's like, who the hell is Michael Gee? He didn't even know what people were talking about. But it's a controversial idea to suggest you're better off losing a game, but I don't think it's stupid.
No, it's not stupid, but at the same time, trying to end on a heater, keeping this winning streak going, not just for confidence, not just for belief, but actually continuing to win is what's going to give them potentially that bye. And like I said, in the 11 o'clock hour, we'll look around the rest of the league at all the other games and give you your rooting guide this week. There are not a lot of losses on the table for the other teams that are going to challenge the Patriots for the top spot in the conference. The Ravens could be toast. Tennessee obviously has had their own roster issues. Their schedule the rest of the way. Kansas City, that's a team you might have to worry about. And I think Buffalo is kind of dunsky as well. What do you say, fair fans of Patriots Nation and WEEI? 617-779-7937. Matt is down, and we're covering all the states today. I think we just need a call from Vermont and Connecticut, and we are good to go. Matt in Rhode Island, what's going on? Thanks for giving your old pals Fitzy and Hart a shout on a Sunday.
Yeah, successful. That is Rhode Island I am calling you from. So I was at Twin River, actually, speaking of Rhode Island. I saw a guy with a perfectly hemmed half Patriot, half Buccaneer Tom Brady jersey. It was.
I would have paid your bail money if you tore it off of him.
You know what, Fitzy? My next thing was going to be, I was going to tear it right off his body. We're in the elevator together. I'm kind of looking at him. But I figured, hey, you know what? To each their own. And you know, I don't judge people on how they want to, you know, root for teams. It's just, you know, it was very strange. But anyway, I think Hart was saying it tongue-in-cheek when he said that he doesn't care if the Patriots, you know, win this all. And I kind of know what you're saying. I mean, the team is well-positioned going forward. But I think in the situation that we're in, you know, I really do believe that they can go all the way. And I will say, with that being said, that I think this Indy game is the most difficult of the last four. Because if you look at Indy, really needs this game, yes. Record-wise. Because it looks like they're going to make the playoffs, but they're not in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. So, and they play really fast at home, not only with their running game, but they got Pittman out there. Yep. You know, I just want to see them. I don't want to see them lose that last game in Miami. Obviously, I want to see them get that number one seed. But you know, I know a lot to unpack there. But I love the show this morning. And have a great day. Enjoy the Buffalo-Tampa Bay game.
Thank you very much, Matt. Appreciate the shout, my guy.
Indy is the 8 seed right now, the first team that is not in the postseason.
Who's the 7 seed right now, Andy?
Buffalo.
Oh, that's going to change after today.
Yes, it will.
Yes, it will. I'm sorry.
I don't know the tiebreakers because Buffalo is going to drop to 7-6. Indy is also 7-6, not playing. They're on their bye. I'm not sure the tiebreaker between... Oh, no. Indy beat Buffalo. Indy ran it down their throats. So, yes, Indy will be
there you go.
The 7th.
There's your tiebreaker right there.
Yep. Forgot about that.
So that poll that was run in Buffalo a week and a half ago, I think it was our Odyssey sister sports station up in Buffalo. At least they discussed it. Maybe it was a newspaper piece. The poll that was run, like, of these four choices, how do you think the Bills' season is going to end? Do you think they go to the Super Bowl, conference championship, make the playoffs, or miss the playoffs? And this was before the Patriots game. They were so despondent about this team and the way things were going. They could too sense that this team was becoming one-dimensional. 40% of the respondents in Buffalo said miss the playoffs altogether. And another 30-some-odd percent said, like, you know, get knocked out in the first round or just barely make the wild card spot. Like, wow. I mean, I guess, you know, lake effect snow, living in Buffalo, going to four straight Super Bowls and losing all of them, that'll toy with your emotions. But I too happen to agree that Buffalo is just kind of at this point kaputs. Like they were broken Monday night.
Yep.
Like that team, that franchise, in addition to Sean McDermott being so salty, producer Nick, if you have that audio of his press conference where the PA system happened to have gone off. I know we played it 1,000 times. Merloni and Fourier couldn't get enough, but please feel free to dig that up because it cracks me up as well. They broke that franchise Monday night. Buffalo just doesn't seem to have it going on. They lost their best player on defense, which really hurts, especially when you're going up against the best passing attack in the NFL on a Sunday. I think they're finished, but the games I worry about the most, Andy, of these four for the rest of the way for the Patriots are the bookends. I worry about the Indianapolis game, and I worry about the Miami game, but I'm more worried about Indianapolis than Miami because I think the Patriots will finally have an answer for Tua, the quick passes, the RPO, all that jazz, even though we've seen a lot of seasons go get cast asunder, and it's always weird to finish up in Miami. Indianapolis does have an opportunistic defense, pretty good front, speedy linebackers like Darius Leonard. They have that powerhouse offensive line, great running game, and a coach who's not afraid. Sean McDermott, broken by Bill Belichick. Frank Reich, undaunted by the chance to go up against Bill Belichick with everything on the line.
Yeah, that's real. You know, we are what our record says we are, as they say.
At the 50-yard line, you are trespassing. Get off the field. Attention. Get off the field.
yeah, I mean, we've been inconsistent. And, you know, again, opportunities to win the game. opportunities to win the game.
I'm surprised he didn't snap right there and just start yelling at the speaker and shut the bleep up. I'm trying to do a press conference. Because he was on the edge. And you know me. I don't just think the Bills are not going to make the playoffs like their fans believe. I think they are already in a transitional phase of new coach. Where's the organization going? I think there's a lot of questions. The Colts schedule, just looking at them as a borderline playoff team.
Yeah, what's their final four look like?
Saturday night. Then they have at Arizona, oof, very losable game for them. We just talked about Arizona not getting the respect they deserve, maybe. Versus the Raiders at home. Raiders are not a pushover, not a great team, not a terrible team. They're in that middle of the pack. And then they end at the Jaguars, so they end with a cupcake.
Attention, get off the field.
Oh, God.
I can't. That's so perfect. Oh, McDermott was so good against the Patriots. I mean, they made a little bit too much last year of the wins against Cam Newton and the anti-Brady Patriots of 2020 in the pandemic. But then to turn around on the biggest of stages with the football nation's eyes looking at you on Monday night and to just not only lose when Bill Belichick has rebuilt the team, but to lose the way they did, I'm with every former player, every analyst who said that game was emasculating, that game, like they challenged their manhood and just the general virility of the team has just been taken from them.
You know, again,
you
opportunities
heard after
to
the
win
game,
the game
is on its way.
Get off the field.
Oh, God.
You heard the safeties after the game. Poyer and Micah Hyde were, you know, so mad about the question about, like, was it embarrassing to get run over the way that they did? We'll play some audio a little bit later. Jordan Poyer was also asked later.
We'll remember that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he was also asked about facing the Buccaneers. He started sounding they all sound very unhinged at this point.
Yep.
While I feel like Buffalo's going to be able to score some points today because the Tampa secondary is not that great in the first place and they're actually more banged up than usual, so they'll be able to score. It's going to be warm weather. It's going to be very friendly conditions for Josh Allen. They're one-dimensional, and that's what gives me hope for the Patriots. Again, like we talked about in the first hour, the game-specific attack that their offense is, the team can morph into whatever they need to. So, yeah, they're going to go heavy, and they're going to challenge Carson Wentz to beat them next Saturday night. You're going to rely on that excellent secondary, which will hopefully, fingers crossed, get Kyle Duggar back from COVID-19. So they should be at maximum health. They should be really healthy coming off the bye. It's a very well-timed bye for the Patriots. I think they can beat Buffalo the day after Christmas. Like Bill Belichick told you, they haven't seen their passing attack yet. Jags is an easy win. And then it comes down to challenging Miami. Basically, could be for a playoff spot for Miami, who's on a heater right now, having won 5 in a row. Could easily run it to 6 next week for themselves. And for not just the AFC East, that could be for the number one seed for the Patriots then. I think they can win out. I don't think they should lose a game. I would love to see the Patriots end on 14 in a row. It would be absolutely wild. What a story it would be. 617-779-7937. We're going to be joined in just a couple minutes from Cincinnati. NFL Network's Mike Giardi is calling in. But first, let's catch you up on what's going on in sports with Trending Now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to Fitzy and Hart on EEI.
Your old pals, Fitzy and Hart, with your WEEI Sports Sunday, now joined on the Harbor One Hotline by our pal from the NFL Network, Mike Giardi, who joins us from beautiful, tropical, sunny Cincinnati, Ohio. Mike, did you ever think that all your life's efforts would one day land you on a Sunday in Cincinnati talking to the two of us jabronis back in Boston?
I mean, it's really just amazing how my life has gone, quite frankly. They should do a book and a movie, I think, on all this stuff. By the way, it is quite sunny here today. Not warm, but it's sunny.
Oh, it's always beautiful there. I think Tanguay is currently at home right now, actually working on the screenplay of your life. So we'll look for, and he's scheduled to play you as well, which is going to be...
Wow, that's all right. That seems fair.
Okay, Mike, so right out the gates, I'm going to ask you the question that you know it. We talked a little bit about it on the Off Day podcast, the spectacular 200th episode with you and Paul Perillo the other day. I wrote the column on Friday, and I've been called an idiot on Twitter. Then I've been told by Christian Fourier that I simply stated the obvious in the column. More impressive, Tom Brady's title run a year ago or Bill Belichick's tear it down to the studs, complete rebuild number one seed Patriots team this year?
I'm going to go with Tom Brady.
Boo.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just think that particularly based on the offseason we had last year with COVID and the restrictions, and I know that Brady and his teammates were skirting those restrictions, but you know, whole new place, new coaching staff, new players, and while he did inherit a heck of a lot of talent there, I find it hard to sort of just ignore what he was able to accomplish for a franchise that really is a perennial loser, you know, always has been, with the exception of, you know, one Super Bowl title prior to.
But the talent, though, you know, the reason why I come down on the side of Belichick, Mike, and it's just, you know, not overwhelmingly so, but I come down on the side of Belichick because of the new foundation that he has had to lay, whereas at least Tom went down to a team. You know, I think, you know, maybe more teams didn't pursue him than he had originally thought, but the team that he went to seemed perfectly suited for exactly what he wanted to do, given his advanced age. But, you know, Brady is an ageless wonder. He found his way to a very friendly offense, and there was I think Andy has made this point time and again, that was a sneaky good defense last year, whereas Bill basically had to clean up his own mess and then, restage the house for everyone to come in and say, wow, you did a hell of a job here. But of all,
I mean, no, Fitz, I'm not both can be true in that yep. Belichick did do a phenomenal job this year. I just think from a player's perspective and leaving your comfort zone and going to Tampa was, you know, Bill knows what he wants. He just didn't have it last year, and he was able to go spend that kind of money in free agency this year to sort of rebuild a roster that, as you mentioned, you know, he was partly responsible for getting the way it got. So, you know, he's done a great job, no question, but I'll still lean on the side of Brady on this one.
Mike, yeah, I know you didn't like my blue apron analogy on the podcast and the ready-made meal for Tom Brady. How about this analogy? Tom Brady gave the Bucks fish, so they ate for a year. Bill Belichick teaching the Patriots to fish once again, they could eat for another decade.
Wow. How long did you think of that? How long did it take?
No, that was this morning, really? Right while Fitzy was talking.
Did you hear how proud of himself he was when he said that to you, Mike?
I mean, I could just feel it through the lines here. Like, he really felt like he's onto something. He really
nailed it.
I mean, now I think you're going too far overboard with that. Like, okay, what? So if the Mac Jones is the real deal and your franchise quarterback for the next, whatever, 10 years or, you know, according to Troy Aikman, the next, like, 25 years,
yep.
then, yeah, you've established something. But some of these guys that you signed in free agency are in their late 20s, 30. Like, those guys are going to age out eventually and not be worth what you're paying them. And in some cases, some of the guys that are on the roster right now aren't worth what you're paying them. So, like, I don't know. And how much longer is Bill going to coach? Is he really going to coach for whatever, 5 more years, 10 more years? Like, how long is the mastermind going to be, you know, pulling all the levers?
I never knew you were such a hater.
Now there you go again. You're doing that radio thing where you just, like, now grab that clip. Giardi hates on the – it's not bad. I'm just, you know, there's there's some gray here, clearly.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. And this is Mike Giardi from the NFL Network joining Fitzy and Hart on WEEI on the Harbor One Hotline. That's the thing. Like, people always race to judge in that when you say you think it's a little more impressive what Belichick has done versus Brady, I think it's a little more impressive. Andy says it's very much more impressive. Fourier says yes, and you come down on the side of Brady. Like, that doesn't take away from, no one's denigrating the effort of the other one or the, you know, the previous half of the greatest football marriage in NFL history. It's just that we're a little more impressed by what someone did. But it has to be, but like you say, like, sports media culture now has to be, no, it's this one or it's that one. It's black or it's white. Whereas, like, yeah, these debates really do live in the gray. Now, and Mike, in this job that Belichick's done, I think we can all kind of agree that it's really the defense, perhaps, that has led the turnaround for the Patriots. Who do you think has been the one player most instrumental in leading the turnaround? Offense or defense, everyone's on the table. Who's that one guy you think that is the centerpiece of the turnaround?
Well, I mean, I guess I would still point to Mac Jones in that regard, just because you didn't – last year I felt like if they had gotten competent quarterback play, they're a winning football team and maybe a playoff team, but they didn't. They didn't get that from Cam Newton at all. This year they're getting, I guess, beyond competent quarterback play from Mac at various points this year. You know, the accuracy now really cutting back on some of the bad decisions and the turnovers. Like, just having someone in that position that you have some trust in just has taken this team to a different place. Like, you know, where I think I personally felt like they were a playoff team coming into the year with Mac as a starter, but now I think you start to move those goals and you're kind of aiming higher. You're saying, well, I don't know, is this an AFC championship game team? Is this a Super Bowl team? Like, I think that's all on the table, and I think it's in part because of how much he has grown in the short time that you've had him here.
Because it's a bye week, we're talking Belichick and Brady and big picture. So I'm going to ask you a big picture Josh McDaniels question. Given everything that's ongoing in Jacksonville, it seems almost impossible that Urban Meyer is going to be there for anything beyond this season or maybe even beyond this week. And I see there's already, you know, reports, internal candidates, what they might do. Wouldn't Josh McDaniels make a heck of a lot of sense to pair up with Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville?
I don't think there's any question about it. And if I was Chicago, I'd be thinking the same thing if I'm going to move on from Matt Nagy. You have a young quarterback, a franchise quarterback, someone who has once again put on his resume his ability to coach quarterbacks and get quarterbacks to play at a high level without any, you know, NFL experience, whether you want to go back to, you know, Matt Castle or, you know, do you want to do Garoppolo and Brissett like that? You just, and now Mac and the way Mac's developed and the way, you know, and again, this is a, some people will view this as a bad word, but the way they protected him, the way they've managed mm-hmm. him, I think is really smart to do with a young quarterback who's never seen this before. And, yeah, you're if you're looking at Jacksonville and you're looking at the fact that your quarterback hasn't, what's he thrown, one touchdown pass since Halloween, like that dude is legit. We all believe he was legit, and this year has been a disaster. And I gotta say, I mean, it's, to me, it's pretty clear. It's not Trevor Lawrence, it's Urban Meyer and the coaching staff that surrounds him and what they built there, or what they haven't built there, and they've let this kid down tremendously. And then, you know, look, face it, like, you've got it now. If you're Jacksonville, you got to start worrying, like, did we screw this up? Do we screw up what most people thought was the best quarterback to come in the draft since Andrew Luck, just like going to be that solid to great quarterback for the next 10, 12, 15 years? Did we screw that up in year one because we handed this thing over to Urban Meyer and we're rudderless? I mean, that's just, I would be petrified, and I would be the same in Chicago. Like, you drafted Justin Fields. He's this incredible athlete. He's got all kinds of skills. We know he's tough as heck, but like, where's the progression there? There hasn't been any. And that to me falls on the coaching staff. Like, do a better job. And if you're not, then they got to find someone who will. And I think, look, just based on his offensive coaching abilities and what he's done with the quarterback, Josh has got to be at the head of the list.
Yeah, you would absolutely think that he would be, because while it's been a David Carr-like beating that poor Justin Fields has taken out in Chicago, I think people viewed him as a bit more of a raw prospect, whereas Trevor Lawrence seemed like the most pro-ready quarterback. I mean, the guy was just an absolute stud every single snap he took in college. He wins, you know, his first season, he wins the national championship. Turns out Mac Jones seems the most pro-ready, but then we get into the did he go to the right system or was he the most pro-ready guy debate, and that's another radio show. In and of itself, right there, I would think that Jacksonville would make the most sense because who wouldn't want to go down there and coach, you know, somebody who you got to get in there and fix quickly, because like Urban Meyer's basically challenging everyone to starting a fight club in his locker room, just saying like, give me your resume. Tell me what made you so great here. It's a disaster, but we all saw that coming. That's the third of the four games the Patriots have left on the table, Mike. They're on the bye this week. Four games left. Do you think the Patriots can run the table the rest of the way to keep the top seed? And who would you see as the biggest threat to them now? Because, like you said, the goalposts have been moved. It's not just playoffs or bust. Now it may be Super Bowl or bust for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can run the table. I think they've shown us that they're capable of that. But, I mean, I don't think this stretch is easy by any, you know, by any use of your imagination here. I mean, I think Indy's going to be a tough game. And Indy's trying to fight to get into the postseason, right? You're at least in position to be in the postseason. Indy's on the outside looking in. They got to fight to get in. And that's a team that, you know, they're playing maybe as well as you are or close to it in the last, you know, whatever, 6 weeks or so. And then I look at Buffalo, like that's going to be a totally different game the day after Christmas. Now, maybe Buffalo is psychologically damaged by Belichick and the Pats and seeing the sight. And after what happened on Monday night in Buffalo, maybe that's they can't get over that hump. Certainly, they got a tough one today in Tampa. And then look at Miami. I mean, I never go into Miami, even when Miami's bad, and think like this is going to be a cakewalk, because it's never – or rarely is it ever a cakewalk down there. So, and they too could be in a situation where maybe you're already locked in the playoffs, but they're still fighting to get in. So, you know, there are definitely some chances for them to stumble here. You have to like the way they're playing and you have to like their approach. And if they can maintain that, then, you know, 3-1 or 4-0 is not completely out of the question.
Michael Hurley over at WBZ has reincarnated the Michael Gee 2007 question of whether this team would be better off with a loss down the stretch here in December. Do you think they'd be better off with a loss, or can you actually envision them, if they're a true Super Bowl contender, winning 14 straight games under Mac Jones' leadership to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I can envision it, because I think, I mean, why not? Like, I don't think anybody in the AFC is worlds ahead of the other teams, you know, so when you look at that, I think we were on the podcast on the as you mentioned, the wonderful 200th episode of the Off Day Pod. That didn't have cake or pie. That I know, blame Hannibal. That when you look at the, like, who are you scared of? Like, yeah, Tennessee's a tough team, but they have to get healthy. Kansas City still hasn't been Kansas City despite going on a win streak here. Like, there's no one that you go, oh my God, they are worlds better than everyone else. Like, maybe I'd look at the NFC and say, Tampa. Like, if Tampa's right and healthy, that team would scare the crap out of me. Like, okay, Green Bay. Rodgers has a bit of a choking gene in him. Like, I don't know. So I just think that it is wide open for them to sort of put their foot down and keep doing what they're doing. I mean, if they're going to keep playing from in front and their defense is going to continue to be opportunistic and stingy, like, why not? Why can't they win 14 in a row?
You can see him today on the NFL Network. Thank you for joining us on a football Sunday. Once again, you can follow him on the tweet machine at Mike Giardi. Thanks for calling in on the Harbor One Hotline and lending some of your analysis and perspective, Mike. And also, thanks for putting up with Andy. We really appreciate it.
You know, someone has to, Fitzy. And I've taken it on my shoulders this year.
If you have time while you're making out, could you tell Jimmy we said hi?
I will certainly tell him I said hello. I'm not going to tell him anything from you guys.
Okay. Slip him the tongue.
Right.
Great spot as always, Mike. Thanks so much, my man.
Necessary.
See ya. See ya, buddy. That's Mike Giardi from the NFL Network joining Fitzy and Hart on WEEI on the Harbor One Hotline. Yeah, see, like, Mike agrees. Mike's watched as much football as the rest of us. It's wide open. It is absolutely wide open. It wouldn't surprise anyone if the Patriots run the table. But,
Whoa. It will surprise people. That's I don't
know at this point. No, because he qualified it with the goalposts have moved. In September, if you told me the Patriots were going to end on a double-digit win streak, I'd have been like, get out of here, and also, you know, pour me one of whatever you're having. Now, at this point, not like every he laid it out. Like, all these teams that we think are going to be good, Andy, you know, 1 week it's like everyone's on Cincinnati. Then they lose at home to the Chargers. 1 week it's, oh, the Chargers are going to do it, and then they lose. And it's Kansas City. Yeah, but they still haven't looked like Kansas City. And Tennessee, like, oh, they have a pretty friendly schedule, but – you know, they're so banged up at this point. Like, it's and you know, the Ravens, my God, you want to talk about banged up, just right behind Tennessee on the injured reserve cart. The Ravens, who lost their other starting cornerback last week in that jaw-dropping defeat at the end of the game to the Steelers. Like, everyone is banged up. It seems like everything is breaking Belichick right now. It's all falling in place for the Patriots to make this unbelievable, improbable, unforeseen run.
Therefore, falling in line with Paul Perillo's statement over the years, it always works out for the Patriots.
Oh, my gosh. And for anyone who ever worked for state media to be more infuriated, that's part of the joy of Perillo, too, is the fact that, like, you know, like all these things that he has to talk about secretly drive him crazy at the same time. He loves it. I wonder why the two of you get along so well.
It's true. We do have a good working relationship. But I'm going to get back to people will be surprised if the Patriots win 14 straight games. I mean, what the record's 21 that they set back in 03, 04, right?
03 to 04, correct. Yes.
And that is a team that's put on a pedestal with Brady and Harrison and, you know, Dylan and just all the, and to say that this retooled, rebuilt, can I then win the argument with everybody? If they win 14 in a row and win the Super Bowl, can I say that's more impressive than Brady definitively then? Definitively come February. Screw Brady, especially if he goes through Brady, if it's the dream scenario, LA, Patriots, Bucks, Brady, Belichick, and Belichick caps that off with Mac Jones winning 14 in a row, can we then put a nail in the coffin that Brady was more impressive a year ago on the ready-made team in Tampa?
Are you the kind of guy, of course, why am I even asking this question? I already know the answer to it. You are the kind of guy that needs to win every argument. I know this. And
isn't
yes,
that the
Andy,
point
at that
of
point, it would be inarguable to me at that point.
Hello, you argue to win the fight. Right?
Yeah, it would be completely inarguable. If they win 14 straight and they have to go through Brady at that point, yes, that would be the most impressive anything, I think.
Are you rooting for that? We should get into that at some point. Would people legitimately want to see that, or would that be so emotional and trying that they don't want to see Brady, Belichick, Super Bowl? Because I want to see it. I'm here for it. I am here for the show, the story. Like, bring it on.
I want it. It's on the table. Anything that Mike Giardi brought to us and his Patriot storylines, of course, they were brought to us by Cars for Kids. Thank you, Mike, for calling in. Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call, you guys know it from the jingle, 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS, and that's Cars with a K. Do you want to see the Brady, Mac Jones, Belichick Super Bowl? How do you feel? Who do you think is the most important, and who possibly could be the biggest stumbling block for these New England Patriots on their way to the postseason, which most likely is a certainty now? 617-779-7937. Got a couple lines open. Give us a shout. It's Fitzy and Hart, WEEI Sports Sunday.
We're back to Fitzy and Hart on EEI.
Almost 11 o'clock on a beautiful Sunday here. End of autumn, early winter. The holiday season is happening. We're going to take a look around the league in just a couple of minutes here on WEEI Sports Sunday. Fitzy and Hart filling in for NFL Sunday. They're on the bye just like the Patriots are. They'll be back next Saturday night at 6 o'clock with your pregame special before the Patriots travel to Indianapolis for a Week 15 showdown primetime Saturday night. 8:20, Pats at Colts. It's going to be, as the kids like to say, Andy, a banger. Speaking of bangers, one of my favorite callers is on the line representing from the South Shore. That's where it's at. Danny and Quincy, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Andy, it's not only a cult, it's a cult with BDS. That's Belichick Derangement Syndrome, okay? The guy from Maine, right? He said, oh, Belichick put them in the mess, so he had to dig himself out of his own hole, okay? And I'm saying, okay, well, Tom Brady threw, what, two picks in the Seattle game, and he threw a pick six in the Atlanta game, Super Bowl, both Super Bowls, and Brady had to dig himself out of his own mess, okay? It goes both ways.
Correct.
Right? It goes both ways. And then he also said that, well, Belichick did so much damage. Oh, damage. 15-19. Put the team way behind. And in the last seven Super Bowls, the Patriots were in it four times, and they're 3-1 in seven Super Bowls. That's pretty good.
That's right? Danny, you get a reputation for being kind of a loud, obnoxious, whack job caller.
I know. I'm sorry.
And you've earned it. No offense,
apologize for nothing.
I earned it.
But you're bringing such a reasonable take to the airwaves this Sunday morning that I'm not sure people are going to be able to handle it.
These are the things that get left out. Giants
facts.
Second Super Bowl. Brady takes an intentional grounding on their first play from scrimmage. Safety, give the ball up, Giants come down and score. It's 9-0. Now, all I hear is, oh, he broke the consecutive completion record to get the Patriots back in the game. Well, he dug the hole. So there you go. And by the way, I think in 2015, didn't Belichick draft Trey Flowers, Joey Cardona, Shaq Mason? I mean, those guys, Flowers was a good pick, right? Mason is still making a contribution. And Cardona, he's a long snapper, not glamorous. I think you need that guy in the game last week against Buffalo, don't you?
Trey also signed a $90 million contract to go to Detroit. That tells you what the league thinks of him at the very least, or at least one organization. So, and Shaq Mason is the answer. Remember for years everybody kept using that Belichick hasn't drafted a Pro Bowl player in X number of years? Shaq Mason could have been a Pro Bowler at any point. That was the reality. Like, he was a good offensive lineman. They signed him to a contract extension. He's part of the line that everybody gushes over now that just ran the ball 46 times in Buffalo. So, yes, the mistakes at times were overblown, just like at times Belichick's accomplishments get overblown.
Right.
Some of the success.
But again, his sample size is 20 seasons with the Patriots. So, you know, it is kind of the margin for error increases. And, you know, the comparison, again, Brady is on the field throwing this is where I agree with you in your article. Brady is directly responsible for what goes on the field. Belichick, once he sets the game plan and coaches and teaches and does all the things you need to do leading up to a game, he's the ball. And then he's got to go out on the field and throw a touchdown pass in a Super Bowl. That is the new ceiling for Belichick. This is absolutely ridiculous. I can't believe it. I'm listening to it. That's why I go nuts when I get on the radio. It just all explodes, and I'm sorry you guys got to be on the other end of it. But the only thing I would disagree with you, Andy, on is last week you said you didn't want to give the genius title to Belichick for the game. You wanted to give it to the offensive line, right?
Yes.
Am I characterizing that correctly, right?
100%. I think that game was won by fat guys on both sides of the ball.
Which I agree with you. Okay. And I prefer to substitute the word genius for maybe ballsy for Belichick, for what he did, okay? But isn't that applicable to every game, every week, where the coach comes up with the game plan and the players have to go out and kind of execute it? I mean, the credit does go to the players, but the preparation, the game plan, the decision-making.
Danny, it's not always obvious. I mean,
I'm sorry?
It's not always obvious. I think you could have taken an 11-year-old who's watched any football, taken him to Highmark Stadium, put him out there for pregame warmups, and he would say, hey, guys, I think we should run the ball today. It seems pretty windy and hard to throw. And then when you run it and have success and get a 64-yard touchdown, I think he would say, guys, I think we should keep running the ball. We're playing from ahead. Let's just keep doing what we're doing.
Right.
That's where I think people give him credit for not being a moron. People are calling him a genius, and all he didn't do was screw it up. Don't do something dumb in the weather.
It is the deal. I mean, and then you get into this, well, he doesn't trust his quarterback. What does Mac Jones think about his head coach? Well, he let him throw 51 times against the Saints earlier in the season. I think he put up 40 attempts against Tampa Bay. So this notion that he doesn't allow Mac Jones to unleash a little bit is another false narrative. So it just I do think he overplayed his hand one time when they gave back the 7 points, when they got the ball before the second half with a minute and 47, and they reeled off that first 17-yard run, and the ball was on the 42-yard line with the wind at their back, not knowing what McDermott was going to do in the second half, kick or receive. I think they might. I think he really took a chance not trying to score there. And you know, if he throws a pick or they fumble, then I look like an idiot, right? So, but that's the one drive I think they should have tried to maybe try to kick a field goal or try to score. You know, so
absolutely, Danny. All right. Make it like
all right,
like
Danny.
Andy just
very
said
good
a
call,
ago.
And you didn't yell.
Great call, making way too much sense on a Sunday. Everyone has a moment to get their emotional and logistical ducks in a row on the bye week, so you can see why it's good for the one and many of us. Yeah, I think it's a spectacular job Belichick's done. And also, one little thing from Mike Giardi's call just a few minutes ago, Andy, that I think people sort of sleep on. Everyone is so quick to criticize Cam Newton, first of all, and then Belichick for last season, 7-9. What an awful team. I mean, like, Belichick did have to sort of rebuild it from the studs. But Giardi said if they got competent quarterback play, and that's why he said the most influential member of the turnaround on the 2021 Patriots is Mac Jones, is that the Patriots have gotten competent, if not more than competent, quarterback play this season from a rookie, no less. And Mike thought the Patriots could have been a playoff team last year if they got good quarterback play. Did you agree or disagree with that assessment?
I would disagree with that.
I think they were a pretty putrid football team last year. I think they won about as much as they could with the lack of talent at receiver and tight end, and you lose Edelman, and like they just didn't have a lot of bullets in their gun, and it wasn't just Cam Newton. That's where I fall on some of the people that say it gets overblown how bad Cam was. He was horrific. He was bad. But he really did have almost
after post-COVID Cam, we should say, excuse me, post-COVID Cam Newton was really bad. The final three quarters of the season, yes, he was.
And he had nothing to work with. I mean, the tight end spot, the wide receiver spot, they were a bad football team. It is what it is.
Yeah. I feel like they maybe could have gone like 9-7. 10-6 would have been, I mean, Brady would have gotten them, carried them to 10-6. And then he would have been the most miserable 10-6 quarterback in the NFL. So
I think Brady would have missed the playoffs just like Cam did, and then he would have sulked and bitched about it. He was better off where he was.
Well, we know where he is now, and he's got a very important game both for his team and their pursuit of the number one seed in the NFC, as well as for the Patriots. How Tom Brady could help your Patriots when they're on a bye, plus everything else going on around the NFL. We'll whip around the league when we come back in hour number three, top of the hour, coming up with Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.